It is my, from dealing with my brother, he was producing voluminous amounts of material, reading Greek, which he had never been able to read before, and doing a number of phenomenal things, which the doctors saw as pathological. His agitation, his the fact that he could steal, lie, and cheat, and tell that he was Christ. He escaped from the hospital a number of times, a very creative fellow. And my reading of his material shows that he was tuned in on some of the greatest truths in the world that have ever been enunciated by some of the highest beings, and he was experiencing these directly, but he was caught in a feeling that this was happening only to him. In other words, he had taken his ego with him into this other state of consciousness, and he was experiencing it as unique to himself, and therefore he got into a messianic predicament of saying, I've been given this and you haven't. See? And as we started to share time and space, he noted that everything he said on this level I understood, and we could talk at this level together, although the psychiatrist sitting in the room was having a very difficult time dealing with this visitor who was obviously crazier than the patient, you know, and who... And my brother often said to me, I don't know, he says, I'm a lawyer, I'm a decent citizen, I've got a tie and a jacket, and I go to church, and I'm a good person, and I read the Bible. Me, they've got in a mental hospital. You walk barefoot, you got a beard, you got a funny name, you're really weird, you're out free. How do you explain that? And I said, well, I'll show you how. I said, do you think you're Christ, the Christ in pure consciousness? He says, yes. I said, well, I think I am too. And he looks at me and he says, no, you don't understand. I said, that's why they lock you up. See? Because the minute you tell somebody else they're not Christ, they lock you up. The minute you say, I am and you're not, then you got to go. It's very clear. That's the way the game is played. And my, as far as I'm concerned, we're all God. Here we all are. Now, I don't go around forcing you to say, you are God, aren't you? You see? Because you only come on to somebody else when you are caught in an ego drama, when you are caught having to do something. And the quality of... I said, Leonard, if you didn't have to do anything to anybody else, nobody would put you away. The funny play, the reason they put him away, just so cosmically humorous, was that my father, who is, as I've described him many times to you this evening, you can all do it for yourself now, a Republican, conservative, 72-year-old Boston, came into my brother's apartment and found him sitting there naked, surrounded by five or six elderly ladies who were worshiping him, and he was sitting there burning his money on his credit cards. In a Jewish middle-class family, you can do everything, but you don't burn the money, I'll tell you. So that anybody could see he was obviously crazy. Now, if you happened to be a very deeply religious student, you would understand exactly what was going on. It's quite another level, you see, and the humor of it is very far out, you know, but, and the compassion and the poignancy and the predicament. Now, whether my pity, if I felt pity for Leonard, which I don't feel any of, I see his karma unfolding. I feel great compassion. I certainly don't want him to suffer. I realize that I can reduce his suffering by not getting caught in the suffering with him, by being with him at the highest level of consciousness we can meet at all times. Therefore, I can help him by working on myself. And all summer long, I would go to the Veterans Hospital one day a week, and I would sit with him for many hours, just being as conscious as I could be. And we would share the space. And all that time, he became extraordinarily right here and now, because there wasn't anybody surrounding him that says, you're nuts, because I don't think he's nuts. I just think he's living on another plane, and that plane is a plane just like this plane is a plane. And he and I would sit around, and we'd look at the psychiatrist, and we'd say, do you think he knows he's God? And the psychiatrist would say, they are wondering whether I think I know God. It was a beautiful flip-over predicament we had created there, you see. And that reinforcement of my brother's position... He is out of the hospital now, by the way, and it's very strange. He's studying yoga and he's studying meditation, and it's not all pure by any means. And he's perhaps just waiting for the day he can go back to being the Christ again, you know. And maybe he's just cooling it so he won't get locked up. I don't know the level at which he's playing the game. But I do feel that I have worked for 10 years under the model that was there was nobody that I couldn't make contact with if I could purify myself enough. That was the model I worked under. And I have dealt with many, many emergency situations when I was a therapist and LSD guide and people calling up in terrible states. And generally, what I deal with is I go immediately to the place where I feel compassion for their predicament, but no pity, and I don't get caught in a symbiotic role to the dance they're presenting to me. And I center. That's what I do on myself. So that somebody calls up and says, this is horrible and I'm going to commit suicide, I said, well, then don't let me keep you. I mean, if you've got to go do that, you do whatever you need to do, but I just want you to know I'm here if you want to hang out for a while before you commit suicide, since you're going to do it anyway. You know what you've got to do. But if you'd like to hang out, here we are. And I always am right here. Like at this moment, like a girl calls me in the middle of the night and she says, I've taken LSD and my mind is falling apart, and she's crying hysterically. She called from California to New York, and I said, well, who called me? She says, well, I did. I said, well, who dialed the number? She said, I did. Well, I said, would you put whoever it was that dialed the number on? Because if you, whoever dialed 7 digits plus an area code in the middle of the night, you know, to find me, that person I can talk to. You, you're a raving maniac. That is, I was perfectly convinced that always in another human being there is that place, if I can just cut through to that place, which is my own ability to not get caught in the melodrama each time. Now, many, often it becomes an ego struggle, and I have, all I do is center, because the person does what he can do, and I never at any time get involved. I just do what I do. If the person can make the contact, fine. If he can't, there are often times when custodial care is required for a person because they are doing work. You see, I see, I'm very far out, and I'm somewhat scary from a societal point of view, because I'm not sure I can tell you that 2 years in a mental hospital isn't much more advantageous in one's growth as a being than 4 years of a college education, and that maybe 6 months in prison could be comparable to a postgraduate education in education. You know, I'm not sure I can look at total care institutions as other than total care institutions that do a certain kind of training and provide you with a certain kind of psychological environment. And I do see that there are points in the transformations in beings where they, quote, can't keep it all together. That is, where more is happening to them than they can fit to, so that they can't keep all the planes together at any one moment. So they get stuck in one plane or another. And a schizophrenic goes into one and then flips back into the other and flips back and forth. Somebody that's totally psychotic stays in another plane. Somebody that is a total anxiety neurotic is afraid to leave this plane. You know, there's all these different gradations. And it seems to me that we must introduce into our society the concept that there are socially sanctioned moratorium centers. There are places where a person can have a total care environment where they can go through the changes they need to go through with respect for the fact that they are doing work on themselves, because I would say now that a good 40% of my friends have been through mental hospitals because they didn't see the world like the psychiatric community saw the world. And I would say that they are now out and that they are some of the highest beings in our culture, and they are functioning optimally and effectively and quite beautifully as human beings. And I think that they did their work often with the help of very hip psychiatrists and often in spite of the psychiatrists. I go in, you know, I think that many of them just needed that kind of total environmental protection while they did the work, and the psychiatrist needed the security that he was doing something, so he met with a patient so many times and he did his thing, and the patient humored him and then kept doing the work he needed to do on himself. And I only guide patients, and I say, cool it, baby, so that they won't, you know, shoot you up with stuff or shoot your brain full of electric current or stuff like that. Just cool it enough so that doesn't happen, and then just use it as a moratorium center. It's a groovy ashram. It'll protect you. It's cool. And I, you know, visit. And I see that prisons and schools are babysitting institutions for so that we don't glut the labor market. A lot of what is being taught as Western education is a total phony hype, as everybody knows. It has nothing to do with anything. It's initiation rites so you can play ball in the big league park, which has nothing necessarily to do with any great payoff. And I think that we are realizing that education is a much more profound matter than the way we've been trivializing it through our schools of education, of which I used to be a professor. Because I begin to see that we don't learn like rats primarily, that it is not memory curves based on learning as object. There are other ways of relating to the universe so that one learns in what would be called Guthrian one-trial learning, if one can, one wants to play science games. I guess that's what I have to say about psychosis. How far out it all is.